News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
We're going to stay with the budget. Ireland's economy, as we know, continues to perform well, and the government doesn't need to continue pumping actual money and cash into the economy, according to the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council. They've put out their pre-budget submission. Niall Conroy is the acting chief economist at IFAC. Good morning to you, Niall.
Good morning.
So we are doing well. I mean, the child poverty issue, which we might touch back on a little bit later on aside, we're in robust shape despite the threat of tariffs, despite the fallout from Brexit, despite the international pressures coming from conflict. We're doing okay.
Yeah, so the Irish economy is still in a really strong position. So we have record number of people at work. Employment is still growing and consumer spending is still growing. So despite, you know, lots of uncertainty in the world at the moment, the Irish economy seems to have weathered that for now. The question of the longer run impact of tariffs and uncertainty is a little more unclear. But for the moment, at least, the Irish economy still seems to be in a pretty healthy position.
The state, though, wants to spend, and it wants to spend on two items in particular, housing number one and health number two. Is there justification for increased spending on those two areas alone?
Well, we wouldn't have a massive view on the individual areas that the government chooses to spend money on. We would be more so assessing the overall package of measures and is it appropriate for where the economy and society is at the moment. And our view would be that given that the economy is in such strong shape, and there isn't really a time where you need to be pumping loads of additional money into the economy from the government. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't address some specific issues. It just means that you need to make choices between those different options that you have. So if your priority is to address child poverty or the health service, that's well and good. It just means that you can't be doing all the other things that you might like to do at the same time, be it tax cuts or spending increases in other areas.
Yeah, there is still a clamour, and I'm sure it'll come up in the interview with Simon Harris later on, for tax cuts. Is there justification for tax cuts at the moment, do you think? I mean, if people are doing well, particularly on the higher spenders, or the higher earners rather, why do they need a tax cut?
So again, on the specific measures, it's not necessarily clear the rationale for that. I suppose there's always going to be, you know, demands for certain sectors to get tax cuts or improved tax treatment. But I suppose you have to consider that as one of a variety of choices that the government has. And given that, you know, they seem quite intent on trying to spend additional money on infrastructure and addressing the infrastructure deficits that we have in housing, in healthcare, in transport and electricity, then that probably reduces the scope that you would have for tax cuts if that is indeed your priority.
What about saving? We know that we blew through what would have been the pension reserve when the economic crisis happened in 07, 08. Are we putting enough aside for a rainy day? There are rainy day funds, but how bad is the forecast for those?
Yeah, so the government has introduced two savings funds that we were calling for, and we really welcome them being introduced. And we think those are a good vehicle for Ireland to save some of the exceptional levels of corporation tax that we're currently receiving. And if we save those today and we can earn a return on those, they can help offset some of the costs that we know are coming from an aging population. We know is going to mean more spending on pensions, more spending on healthcare. And we know we're going to have budgetary pressure from things like climate change. So the more ambitious we are now and the more we save today, the easier it will be to absorb those costs in the future. And kind of in a tangible sense for your listeners, the more that we save today basically means the less we'll have to increase taxes in the future or cut other parts of spending in order to incorporate those costs that we know are coming down the line.
Finally, Niall, the reality, though, I mean, I've spoken to the Fiscal Advisory Council since it was established, because it was set up to try and guide government on how to make the best decision when it comes to finances. I don't think they've listened to you once. They always go for the next option, which is keep people happy, keep money in their pockets in the hope that they'll remember it when the general election comes around. There does seem to be a short-termism in Irish politics. Are you hopeful they might listen to you this time?
We would hope if there's going to be a period where the government might take a more restrained approach, it would be at the start of the parliamentary term, I suppose. But our role is to really try and outline and give an independent and honest view to the general public, as well as the decision makers as to what we think appropriate budgetary policy looks like. And if we try and shift our approach from a kind of a year-to-year budgeting process to something slightly more medium-term and more of a multi-annual approach, that could certainly improve things.
Okay, we'll leave it there for now. Niall Conroy, Acting Chief Economist at IFAC, thanks very much for joining us. Shane, it is somewhat frustrating that you have experts like that going, no tax cuts, stop spending. You're being too flahoolic altogether for where the economy, even though the economy is doing well. I mean, very rarely we have a situation whereby we're able to say, actually, we don't want the tax cuts right now, put it where its money is needed.
Yeah.
And the government just won't listen.
Well, sorry, Jonathan, they're not listening because that's not what people are saying to them. People are saying to them they want tax cuts. We all have to take responsibility here. Like, we're repeating the mistakes of the crash, and we said we'd never get into this position again, and we're in this position now, and people are still saying, give us tax cuts, increase spending more. Like, have we learned nothing from the crash?
No.
And politicians, they need to be strong. They need to show backbone. But they're going to do ultimately what the electorate wants them to do. And that's what got us into trouble 20 years ago. And it'll get us into trouble again. I've absolutely no doubt about that. By the way, somebody was texting in about the methodology used by the ESRI. They use income-based measures combined with non-monetary indicators of deprivation to capture poverty levels. And these include a whole range of things like fuel poverty, the cost of disability, spatial inequalities, and so on. So it is a very precise measure of poverty that they use. But lots of people getting in touch basically, I suppose, a less sympathetic view on this, basically saying if you visit other countries, poverty is a lot worse and so on. But I don't think we can ignore these statistics, Jonathan.
No, but I mean, the ESRI are good at what they do and you have to listen to them when they say it. Just a couple of texts on this, Shane. Why do we not have any politician calling for lower taxes, reduced welfare reliance and increased job support? We are one of the highest taxed people in the world and get very little public services. Topsy-turvy, dangerous policies have us at serious risk again, says that listener.
Yeah, just fact checked. We're not one of the highest taxed people in the world. That just is not the case. And indeed, our taxation rates on lower levels of income are among the lowest in the EU. We have a very progressive tax system. We do hit the top rate of tax at quite a low level. That is fair to say. The budget can never solve the housing crisis, even if we had the USA's money. As long as population rises by 1 million every 10 years, we just can't build that many houses that quickly. Why not? Why not? I think we can. We need to rise to that challenge, I would argue.
And Ken and Kerry says, we keep saying we need to pump more money into the health service. No, we don't. We just need to see where the money is not working. The health service needs to be stripped out and managed properly. We keep throwing money at it with no results. Also, the government needs to regain power. The HSE have control because our weak government gave it away. Thanks for that text. Ken, Kim Common, 087-1400-106.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.